evening and welcome to the Tuesday, March 19th, 2013, City of Arroyo Grande Planning Commission meeting. May we have roll call, please?
Commissioner Barnidge?
Here.
Commissioner Keane?
Here.
Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Agenda review. Does anyone see a reason to change the order of the agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to community comments and suggestions. This is a time for anyone in the community to come speak to the Planning Commission about anything that seeing nobody, we will move on to written communications. I see that we got one memo after the preparation of agenda, and we've all received that. Thank you. Consent agenda. Approval of minutes. We're here to approve the minutes of February 19, 2013. I think we're all in attendance on this day. Does anyone have any corrections, additions, deletions? All right, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. May we have a roll call vote, please?
Chair Ruth.
Yes. All right. Public hearing items. Item 8A, consideration of conditional use permit 13-001. Location is 1400 West Branch Street. Applicant is NKT Development. And Matt, if you could give us a staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Ruth, members of the commission. This is item 8A, conditional use permit 13001. The project includes a 3,850 square foot fast food restaurant with a drive-through located at 1400 West Branch Street. Here you can see the actual site. It is currently zoned plan development, PD 1.1. And the surrounding land uses include hotels, retail, office, and Highway 101. So the project site is almost a half an acre, and it is, again, directly adjacent to the Hampton Inn and Suites. It was previously approved for a 6,000 square foot sit-down restaurant. With it being located in PD 1.1, the development standards are approved on a property-by-property basis, so there's no other than some other standards such as parking, there's no specific site development standards. ...1,150 square foot restaurant with a drive-through. Now, the inclusion of the drive-through, which was not originally part of the approved project, is what has required the conditional use permit tonight. And this is also something that we have required of other drive-through restaurants in the nearby regional commercial zone, such as the Carl's Jr. and In-N-Out Burger. Here's a site plan, as you can see. So the restaurant would sit on almost the center of the site with the drive-through wrapping around the west, south, and east sides of the building. And in terms of access, so the site has full ingress and egress access from Camino Mercado. As I said, the drive-through window, actually the drive-through window is located on the eastern side of the building, and the single lane drive-through itself wraps around the west, south, and east, south and eastern sides of the building. Now, in terms of parking, parking is required at a rate of one space per 75 square feet of floor area accessible to the public. And the hotel was actually required to have 106 spaces, one per every for a 20% reduction of common parking facilities. Combining these two, it actually only requires 111 spaces, while between both sites and with the parking agreement, which is conditioned to be updated, it will total 123. So that's a 12% reduction in parking rather than 20%. In terms of landscaping, so the landscaping was reviewed by the Architecture Review Committee. Those are conditions of approval 9 through 12 on the attached resolution. And these basically identify selected plants from the plant. The atmosphere of Rio Grande itself. So with regard to the Architectural Review Committee, they reviewed the project twice. First on February 4th of this year, which is attachment one of the staff report and has the minutes on there. At that time, they did recommend approval of the project with conditions based on site and building design. Now these conditions have already been incorporated into the updated site plans, which are in front of you tonight. And the Architectural Review Committee had a second review on March 2nd, or on March 4th, I should say. They looked at what was originally for approval with the conditions based on plant selection. In terms of environmental review, so an initial study was completed and a mitigated negative declaration was developed for the project. Specific mitigations were required in some areas to ensure the project had no significant impact. These areas are air quality, water quality, and transportation. Water quality, I won't go any further into, but it was basically inclusion of best management practices for the construction of that site. With regard to air quality, the San Luis Obispo County Air Pollution Control District eight mitigation measures were selected in order to meet the recommendation by the APCD, and these mitigations have been included in the mitigated negative declaration. In terms of transportation, a transportation impact analysis report was prepared by Omni Means. There were four scenarios analyzed. So there was the short term with no project, short term with project, and then cumulative or long term with project, and long term cumulative with no project. The levels of service in that report were all within acceptable jurisdictional standards. Level of service from C to D in the short term with project. Now, the LOSD is actually still meets the Caltrans standards for state facilities, being that the on-ramp and off-ramp are part of that intersection. However, it did slip. It's also important to note that staff went ahead and confirmed that the originally approved and entitled 6,000-square-foot restaurant, sit-down restaurant, if that were to be constructed using today's baseline standards and reviewed under today's baseline, that would also actually move that intersection from a LOSC to an LOSD. Public notices were mailed to all property owners within 300 feet of the site, as well as being published in the Tribune and posted at City Hall on March 8th. And staff has not received any comments at this time. And that concludes staff's presentation tonight. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you, Matt. John, any questions?
Just a clarification on in the resolution of page 8, number 40. Worded in such a way that it doesn't quite make sense to me. So, since they're in two different sections, one's in landscaping, one's in curb, gutter, and sidewalk, maybe that's the difference, and I'd like to have an explanation of what.
Absolutely. So, condition of approval number 40 says to install root barriers for all trees planted adjacent to the curb, gutter, and sidewalk to prevent damage due to root growth. And then condition of approval number 29. From even if trees are planted 10 feet back from the sidewalk to make sure that the roots don't spread out and pop parts of the sidewalk up.
It says like 40, kind of implies that they can be planted out closer than 10 foot, and that's what I wanted to make clear, because I haven't noticed that 10 foot back on the root barriers on the curb gutter and sidewalk. You know, we see that one all the time
for this project. So that's probably why you have not seen that piece before.
Thank you. I don't have any more questions this time.
Thank you. Kristen?
Thanks. Thanks, Liz. Matt, if we, or Teresa, if we approve this drive-through that's specific for this business, later on, if Panera goes out and McDonald's wants to go in, is that drive-through approved for that location as well?
Yes, so the conditional use permit actually does run with the land. Therefore, if for some on the space in the exact same way. If there were any alteration in terms of expansion of the building or expansion of the area inside, that would have to be reviewed and approved at that time.
But how many changes? What percentage of changes? So if they really wanted to utilize that drive-through and they maybe just did some facade changes, we really wouldn't have any say in the drive-through.
That's correct.
To protect the cars or something. Is that incorporated in these plans?
Yes, it was.
So is that?
That is on. Give me one moment to find the correct page. That's actually part of the civil drawings on sheets. On sheet DP6.
DP6.
It actually shows the two retaining walls with a boxwood hedge between the two and then a 1 foot 6 inch curb between the actual yes.
Oh, so you're talking about the section. Okay. So that 18 inches is within where it shows 12 feet on the site plan.
Correct.
In that site. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. This may be a stupid question, but what's with all the storm drain lids out there? All these huge, they catch on the curb side on the slope going up. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, all at different levels, covers, manholes. On the existing site. On site there. I don't see any plans to move them. Maybe Mike can.
I'm not an engineer either, but mm-hmm. My only thought to that is, so this was previously prepared with fill dirt. I would imagine that would be some sort of stormwater portion to that.
Yeah.
To allow water to pass through the fill material.
So those are all supposed to remain as is right now?
Yes, they're not proposed to be removed at this time.
Okay. That's my question, I guess.
So, yes, I just have a question. There's some discussion about it being a tight turning radius and concerns by the ARC regarding that. I'm not an expert. I don't know what type of radius drive-thrus typically have. Is there a minimum? Does this meet it? Because I know there are some I know, like the Taco Bell in Grover Beach, if you try to turn through that, it's very scary, and I want to make sure we're not creating another situation like that.
The city's engineering department did review the site plans. They didn't have any concerns about that. Obviously, very large vehicles would not be able to enter the drive-thru, but...
Because once you get in that drive-thru aisle, you're kind of stuck. I mean, there's nowhere to go except for down a hill. How much of the drive-thru pavement and drive-thru operation is going to be visible from the highway? Do you have any idea?
The drive-thru pavement itself will actually not be visible. It will be behind a solid concrete block wall, which actually, luckily, I have the slide up. So this will all be... solid block wall. There will be a boxwood hedge to hide the upper portion of the wall, the second wall, and as well as other landscaping. So there will be landscaping that will be installed around, as well as vines and other climbing vines to grow over the wall to help mask it and screen it.
The wall itself is only 18 inches high, so you'll see the cars going.
The wall itself is about 3 feet.
Oh, is it 3 feet?
Okay. Yeah. So, and it was specifically designed and included to be a concrete block wall in order to block the headlights and protect drivers on the highway, as well as West Branch Street and Camino Mercado, from being blinded by any glare from vehicles sitting in the drive-thru.
I know I asked you a question earlier about... the hotel.
Correct. So the drive-thru speaker is actually located on the south elevation of the site, down in this area. And so while it is still in close proximity to this far portion of the hotel site, it will actually be projecting away from the hotel. So while they might be able to hear it, it's not anticipated to have a large impact. Also, my past experience with the proposed restaurant itself, they do not have loudspeakers that announce order numbers or anything like that on the outside. They actually have people that come out with your food and bring it to you, so that there won't be any noise impact from that.
You know, C, D, and E, what exactly does that mean?
So the traffic level of service basically revolves, in the case of intersections, in timelines between different thresholds and how long you have to sit at a particular intersection before moving. The threshold for LOSC is 20 to 35 seconds. Right now, that current intersection with all of the completed projects, or not completed projects, but approved projects still waiting to be built, that current timeline right now is 34.1 seconds. So it is already on the cusp of
all based on how long you wait
at
the intersection. Do you know what the actual level of service is right now?
I
tell you, I use that intersection a lot because Briscoe is impossible, and I hate to lose this one too.
It's currently C.
It's currently C.
Yes.
Okay, because it right now it's pretty efficient.
Yeah, and it's not, again, near-term no-project scenario has it at 34.1. That includes all the previously approved projects that are still waiting to be developed.
We're 1 second away from slipping, huh? Okay.
Yeah. So it's incredibly close to already dropping to that LOSD.
Then I have another question about... I don't recall very often or at all seeing drive-thrus adjacent to a hotel, a nice hotel. Do we have other situations like that, either around town or somewhere that I can think of?
There is not another one, to my knowledge, within the city limits.
Adjacent to a hotel? I mean, like, same property like this where they're sharing parking?
Carl's Jr. is an example. That's, of course, separated by a creek, but we don't have any examples in the city or that I can think of in immediately adjacent cities. I've seen it elsewhere up and down the state, but in generally in bigger, more diverse, with additional mixed-use commercial areas that utilize the same drive parking lot aisles and shared parking lots.
Because I just don't recall seeing that kind of a thing before. Okay, I think the...
Good evening, Commissioners. My name is Mike Peachy, architect with MW Architects, and a resident at 478 Rosemary Lane. I'm about 3/4 mile from this project, and I'm pretty excited that this is going in. I'm on ARC where we saw this project come before us in 2004, so it's nice to finally see some infill projects that are actually enjoy that I visited in Santa Maria and in San Luis Obispo, so they have a really nice product, and we're excited about being able to walk to more than one restaurant than what we do now. We currently go to Baja Fresh from our neighborhood, but I've never gone to the In-N-Out Burger yet, so I haven't tried that out yet. But I want to say that this, I want to thank staff for all their help through this process. We've gone through two ARCs, as they've mentioned. I can answer some of your questions indicating to me that I've discovered that the label of fast food is a wide range of definition. And in reading the traffic study, I discovered that the impacts or the number of trips are categorized in a table put out by ITE Traffic Generation Handbook. And they have like 5 different classifications for different types of fast food or restaurant. In this particular case, the next category is a quick serve restaurant, which has a little bit more intensity, which implies that there's a little bit more turnover. Then you get into the fast food restaurants, fast food with drive-throughs. The traffic report has used the most intense traffic generation food product service for this illustration. So, and it only added, 2 seconds to the level of service. I'm glad you were waiting. So we just, with that, this added service, it added it 2 seconds to it. The thing that I found interesting, and I just discovered today in talking with Panera's general manager, we were trying to establish historical data from Panera on what they felt their classification would be. They weren't familiar with the ITE's definition of restaurants, but they indicated that their industry classified them as a quick serve. To the customer with utensils, plates. They wash the plates just like a restaurant. Their impression of the drive-thru is more for convenience to the customer, more about accessibility, providing more opportunities for different populations like young families, senior population. It's more of an accessibility issue for them. They were able to give me a sales... They've been able to document 50 of their restaurants that they've converted or added a drive-up window, sort of like what Chili's does. Drive-throughs, and it's increased their sales volume 10 to 15%. So you could kind of you can look at maybe the restaurant intensification, add a little bit more, 10 to 15% to trip generation, but it's far less than what a typical fast food restaurant is. So what I've learned in this process, you know, our land use puts labels on projects to try to help define things like traffic, compatibility of use, recommendations that came from APCD. We work with staff in identifying some mitigation measures that we could help reduce our carbon footprint. I was really interested in learning more about that as an architect and helping and being involved with the development community. And I found that the APC had made comments that San Luis Obispo County is in a non-attainment status, which I think I asked staff, what does that mean? And apparently there's some thresholds. I think it was, here again, it's another number. You're in attainment status if you're under 25. You're over if you're over that number, you're in non-attainment, which you need to try to mitigate all projects. And I believe the threshold was 25, and this county is at 27. So we're, I don't know if that's a lot over or a little over. So my next question to Matt was, who's causing all the pollution? And he wrote back and said, to his knowledge, that the stations that are on the east side of San Luis Obispo County is being we're paying for the sins of the Central Valley, for whatever that's worth. It's interesting to just to understand the process. Some clarifications. I apologize to staff. When I looked through the staff report, I noticed some discrepancies in the calculation of parking. And I believe staff mentioned it was 104-room restaurant. I went back and looked at the approval in 2004, and it's noted as 103-room requirements. And in some communication I've had with staff, if it's a restaurant, it's parked at 1 per 100 square foot of public area. In this case, they've identified as 1 space per 75 for fast food. So there's a 25 square foot difference between a restaurant and a fast food. So again, we're hearing that range is it a restaurant or is it a fast food? And I think we're more on the restaurant size with a little higher turnover than a fast food restaurant. If it's classified as a fast food, I calculated at 7.8% parking reduction. The code allows us 20%, but I just wanted to clarify my calculations, and I apologize, I didn't have the opportunity to talk to staff. Now, you brought up questions on the four storm drains. We're not moving those. My understanding, those were part of the original development package. And the reason why it backs up the other. So those are all required for that development upstream. So those aren't, and they're pretty deep. So
the curb around them and all, I mean, can't do anything to them. Or
so Well, other than planting,
yeah.
Landscaping, I mean, what's going to be nice is we're going to get rid of that fencing and the sign up there. Once planting comes in there with the recommendations from ARC's landscaping, I think it's going to be a nice project. I just want to thank our community. Things that weren't addressed in the traffic, which I thought could also reduce the traffic counts, were, and we were having this discussion with staff today, they call it a pass-by reduction, which means people are already going to other activities in the area and they happen to pass by this restaurant, so they're not generating new trips, that they're either stopping at the restaurant before they go to the movies, or they realize that they're going to Walmart and they go, oh look, there's a Panera. And use formation, which I think creates a synergy for our community, and I think it reduces traffic in some respects because of its location. It being right there on the inner off ramp, it provides an opportunity on and off, so there's not a lot of driving around looking for restaurants, which are hard to do. And lastly, this is a dig at the traffic engineers that, in this community. It'd be nice if we could hire local engineers instead of one that's 330 miles away. That can be a lot of savings in air quality. I think he wants to comment on the adjacency to the hotel. I know he's talked to the hotel people, and he can give you some input from what their comments are on this project.
Okay, let me see if there's a question specifically for you.
Okay.
John?
Thank you.
Yeah, I was going to address that. I'll talk to Nick about it, too. What are the hours of the restaurant?
I had asked that question yesterday, and I had thought it was from 7 to 8. And I'm not sure that they're open at 6. Maybe that's when employees start showing up. The Paneras that I've ran into down south, they weren't open until 7, so I'm guessing staff shows up at 6.
I'm looking at the night hours of cars idling next to the motel in the parking, in the drive-thru. That's why I'm calling
okay.
The hours.
All right, thank you.
Anything for Mike?
Yes, let's see. Mike, you mentioned the Paneras that have the drive-thrus. You said there's 50 of them?
They started off as a sit-down restaurant. And they slowly started to provide pickup and drive-thrus because for convenience and you're serving more demographics. You're providing more opportunities. That's why you see an uptick of 10% to 15% in their volume.
And so, do you know how long they've been? The business model has been that some of them had the drive-throughs. How long they've had them? Do you know? I've never seen one with the drive-through.
No,
of them have, instead of the drive-through, they have the pickup window. And so did Nick or the ARC or anyone else raise the question that why aren't we doing a pickup window instead of a drive-through?
I only learned that they were doing pickup today when I was asking them for staff and I were talking about trying to figure out what the uptick of traffic for the drive-through was, and we had posed that question to corporate, and they threw out that they were doing some pickup along with the drive-through. So
there's who does that? I know that does Applebee's do that pickup? Where you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I've used the Applebee one, or I've seen the Applebee one, and I've seen Chili's as a pickup.
Well, Chili's does it too. That's right.
I've never used it because okay. I usually walk to Chili's.
Okay. So just being that you've used it, not that you're the expert, I've never used it. So what do? You call and then you park in that location?
Yeah, they usually have a designated parking space.
Okay.
So that you can come right up there, get out, pick up your order.
And so do you walk up to the window and then they give it to you that way?
No.
Okay. I've never used it.
It's no different than when I go to WOW. I call in and I just walk in the door and grab the bag and I'm out. So
okay.
It's the same concept.
Okay.
But,
okay.
You know, they do a little different.
Okay. And then my other question was on the patio, what size roughly is that patio?
500 square feet.
Okay. Do the tables have umbrellas?
Yeah, I think I have pictures.
Okay. Yeah, I think you do. You're right. When I looked at that patio, okay, that's good.
Well, Matt, can you? Okay.
Sheet DP7 does have some details of what the umbrellas for the patio would look like.
And they added a screen wall this last ARC.
Okay. So I was envisioning sitting out on that patio, and I wouldn't want to sit out on the patio. I like that it's not next to the freeway, but as far as having some sort of softening from landscaping, am I missing, is there any landscaping? I know I see on the landscape plan there's a little bit of green.
Just a tiny bit.
Okay. It just feels to me, and I know that I know normally you do add landscaping when you can add it, because I've seen your projects. And
a lot of the pictures that I have from Panera, they do a lot of potted plants.
Okay.
So they add that to that environment.
Okay.
And I think that was part of the details that I had, too.
Well, see, on some of the photos that Panera sent, the stock photos, there's a couple patio trees inset in the patio. It just seems to me like not a really inviting place. Where you could put maybe in the top left corner a patio tree, like, and you know, not a huge tree, but just something that's something just to break up all that hardscape. Do you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't feel like a nice place to go sit.
Yeah, what would be, if we could eliminate a parking space and add that, landscaping would be nice.
I'm all for that, because I don't, oh sorry, I'm all for eliminating a parking space because I don't, you have that reduction, and I do think that people are going to walk there from the hotel or maybe there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be in favor in that, eliminating a parking space. I don't think there's going to be a big parking problem, but that's just my two cents.
On the parking drawing, it says there's existing landscape that will stay right in front of that end handicap spot. It doesn't show it on there, but that on the plan, it says it's existing.
Yeah, that's wrong.
The weeds.
No, it's just weeds.
Yeah, it's right, existing weeds, yeah. We're going to remove those.
You're going to get rid of those. Mike, where would you take away the parking?
Well, if I could add compact to the mix, I know the city doesn't allow that. That would allow me to add more landscaping, too, in that frontage. And that way I could keep the spaces.
Yeah, I even questioned whether two's enough handicap spots. That was so eliminating places right there. It's not a good idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't eliminate, we can't eliminate the handicap spaces. Those are required.
Right.
And there's more handicap on site, which is along that pathway.
Being along the east side.
No, it just it feels like you need something. You know, you're always sort of looking out for something a little bit taller. I understand all the shrubbery, but as far as this to me is just, I mean, unless I'm looking at it incorrectly, there's no green at all within lots of feet from the patio, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll be adding it with furniture, like potted plants. It's the only way we're going to get green there. Unless we
have the big tree that's there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my only questions right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Jennifer?
Yeah, thanks. Mike, just to clarify, the trash enclosure is going to be next to the existing one.
Correct.
Okay, and it...
We expanded it.
Oh, so are they separate or...
That trash enclosure was for this pad. Well, it wasn't big enough, so we eliminated parking space and made it wide.
So
it's going to be covered.
So will they over both of them or?
Well, one's existing.
Right.
So the ideal would be to do both of them.
Okay.
Because they're for the same project.
Right. It would look kind of weird.
Yeah, it would.
One and not the other. Okay. On the retaining wall that's out front along West Branch, the existing.
The big one.
Cobble-ish.
Right.
Yeah. Are you required to put a railing up on that wall?
I didn't do that wall. And I'm usually the code requires anytime you have more than a 30-inch drop.
Right, so I'm just
from a wall,
and I don't know. There's landscape in between. You have your drive aisle. I mean, theoretically, someone could walk through the grass and jump. I don't know. I'm just curious because the wall itself already is bad.
Right. Well, with that in mind, I would think we'd need to put in some kind of decorative wrought iron fencing to keep them from going that direction.
So maybe up along the drive aisle versus on top of the already existing wall.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to put that on the wall. So
okay, so just trying to clarify that if it's already you're going
to be honest, we haven't really haven't even discussed that topic, but I think it's a good thing to discuss.
Okay, well, you show you're going to grow some ivy or something on it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
We did a terrace wall so that we could reduce the height of the walls so that we could actually bring more material closer to the wall to actually get plant material to grow quicker. So that was the concept.
On which wall?
The terraced wall.
The one that's there?
The one that we're proposing.
Okay. It shows out here that you're going to put vines on this existing wall, too.
Correct. That's the landscape proposal. Correct.
Okay. So...
So your concern is trying to keep people from walking out and getting hurt. I agree with that. We need to do something.
And it would hope not be on that wall, but
yeah, I don't like putting fences on tall walls.
It's just
I like offsetting, like 2 to 4 feet.
Let's see. Do I have any other questions? The last one was, so the visual screen, so you have the terraced wall at the drive-through, a little 3-foot wall, then the hedge, maybe you could go back to that section, and then you have a 3-foot wall, and now we're putting this visual screen on top of that. Is that the proposal? There was some mention of headlights or something. It shows visual screen for drive lane. Plants in this photo. There were some comments from ARC about
Flats or our first ARC, we had proposed more of a open wrought iron fencing with kind of a like a green screen, so that we could grow it on there. And I think the comments came about that it's going to take a while before that's going to fill in to block headlights. So we decided to bring a solid material up so that we mitigate the headlights immediately. And then we brought in the terracing to help bring landscape closer so that we could get landscape up quickly into vining along with hedging.
So
that was
a little
our
wall
concept.
And the hedge, and then the 3.5-foot wall, and there's nothing else on top of that.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. I think that's it. Thanks.
Lisa. I would like to say I have no questions, but I'm still not understanding the existing wall that's there. So the existing wall that's there, the cobbly-looking one, are you doing anything to that? Or is that
other than putting vines on it.
Just putting vines on it.
Right.
Okay. And as far as the railing or required, is that something?
I'll have to look at the safety issues on how we make the transition from this property to the hotel. We'll need to coordinate that, make sure that people aren't wandering out in that direction.
You can't just have a walkway and then, you know, the wall, the ground drops off.
Right.
20 feet.
Yeah. So I guess I need to ask a question of staff. Is that something we need to concern ourselves with, or is that something that's covered by engineering? Or I just want to know if we need to consider this further.
I think just as a level of comfort, we can add a condition that the safety of the wall shall be considered in final plan check.
I don't have any further questions for you, but if you wouldn't mind staying close just in case questions.
Can I ask one more? I'm sorry. I knew I had one more. Sorry, Mike. Can you add any kind of stairs down through the parking from that second tier to the first tier? There's only 8 or so parking spaces right here out front, and so I think that next row is kind of designated as well. And the only way really to get to the restaurant is out to the sidewalk and around, or you just walk down the landscape bank and kind of on either side of the oak, on the either side of the oak trees, those two slope banks there.
Right.
If you don't, they're going to make a path anyway.
Yeah. It's just there's no. Well, I think it would provide some.
I think when you
access.
Go down that path, you're going to want to remove two spaces because you want to collect to a walkway, and just to make that transition, you're not going to be walking through. Nobody's going to know where that walkway is in between cars, so you'll have to reduce two more spaces to achieve that. Which with the reduction, I think you have the ability to do that.
So you just can't put some stairs and a railing down? You don't think people would see that?
Not if you got everybody parking. You're going to have to figure out whose car you're trying to go through.
Yeah. Okay. Well, just just a concern, food for thought there. Maybe there's a way to.
I don't have what kind of grade drop there is.
And
it could be a lot of steps, so I don't know. That could be challenging to make that happen.
Okay, that's all, I promise.
Okay, one more question from Kristen.
I was going to invite Nick to see if he wanted to. Go ahead.
The two handicap spaces, that's right next to the patio and right where they have, it's depicting them, correct? Sorry. Two handicap spaces. Right next to the patio, and then right next to the one right over. Would there be a way would it be a detriment to move those over and the parking space that's closest to the patio use that for landscaping to sort of shade the patio?
No, because this site, as you know, has a lot of slope to it, and code requires me to be 2% across the handicap space. Those are general location where the existing spaces were. The more I move it north, I get into more slope, which would require me to go I mean, a lot of gymnastics to make that work. So I'm pretty stuck with where those spaces are.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Nick Tompkins, could you please come up and give us your spiel?
Good evening, Nick Tompkins, NKT. Thank you for taking the time to review this, and we're pleased and happy to finally, candidly, to get it here. We've been working with Panera for, I don't know, seems like a generation, but it's only, I think, been a couple of years trying to get this here. And I wanted to give you a little bit of background. When we first talked to them, we actually never envisioned a drive-through, because, candidly, I've never been to one that had a drive-through. But the way that Panera works, and in these what they call the outer markets, is it's dealt with through a franchisee. And so the franchisee in this group is named First Picks, which they operate all the ones that are like the new one in Paso Robles, the one in San Luis, the one in Santa Maria. And they have Paso Robles is their northern border, and just somewhere this side of Long Beach is a southern deal. So what they were done, they were given a timeline and approvals by city to go through and say, you know, you're approved in this city, subject to also getting the parcel approved, and they have to get that approved, and they have to get the site plan approved by the corporate guys, and they go through all that stuff as well. And then they have so long to kind of go through this area, and then they move to the next area, and they're actually moving their corporate office. They've been in Moore Park, and now they're headed south because they've kind of finished. Roy Grandy is their last restaurant in this district, and now they're going to move south. In each case, they do a demographic study. They do they look at in the demographics, population, age, education, and income, and they say, you know, where does each city fit and each community fit into this? And Roy Grandy originally was not approved for a Panera, and so when we were trying to figure out what we're going to do with this site, it kind of looked like it was a dead project. What happened was, I think partially the economy slightly recovered, the demographics slightly improved, and we fell on the other side of the fence when they redid it, but only under what's called the small store format, which is, this is quite a bit smaller than the regular, I mean, if you've been to Panera's, this is going to be a small Panera compared to what you've been in. I actually have not been in one this small, but it's as large as they could approve in this area, and with the condition that it had to have a drive-through. And without the drive-through, then they said, we can't make the pro forma work, and so then it goes away as well. So for us, it was selfishly driven. It's less expensive to do one without a drive-through. It's much easier to put more landscaping and have a pretty outdoor area and all that. But they had said, we have to do this. So then that was kind of where we shook out on that. So then one of the concerns I had was with the neighboring, the hotel. And so we took this project and the plans and took it over to them as well, reviewed that with the local people, but also the people that were the corporate guys that were in charge of it. It was not the president, but it was, I think, chief operating officer for the chain of hotels, and went through with him, laid out the plan. He asked some questions, kind of went through this. They sent it off to one of their people in their office. And I don't think it was really a formal review or anything, but they just wanted to take a look at it and see what was there. And then came back and actually shared with us that they had a Panera that had gone in next to one of their other hotels, and they'd gotten a 10 or 15, I don't remember the percentage lift on their occupancy, but it was positive. And so they were really excited and looking forward to it. And I asked them specifically about the drive-through. And they said, you know, if you need any help, which they have made the offer and be happy to do it, is that they'd write letters or come and speak kind of in support of the project if that would help. And I said, I was a little surprised how excited they were without really any changes to what we were planning, and actually had sent me some stuff recently saying, if you get a construction crew here, we'll give them a discount to stay. So that's kind of that end of it. I had one more thing I was going to share with you. Oh, the hours. The hours are 7 to 9. It's neither 7 to 8 or 6 to 9. It's 7 to 9 is what they've said. Now, if there are going to be conditions on that or something, that would probably be good, because I get the sense in talking to them, and I can't say this for sure, that those numbers have historically moved around. That was all I had. Any questions?
Did they mention anything about the drive-through idling right beside the rooms in the motel?
You mean the hotel themselves?
Yes.
I did to them, and I said, you know, here's where it is. Here's where the, you know, the little speaker box or whatever it is. They didn't seem to have any issue with it. Well, I mean, they said they had no issue. In fact, they didn't come up with any issue on anything we proposed, other than to say they were really excited it was coming. So it was... it didn't seem to be a concern to them.
I meant to go by the...
let's see. Yes, I have one question. Oh, Nick, the when you talked to Panera Bread, did you have a chance to, or did they have... did they share with you that maybe they would be okay with having the pickup window instead of the drive-through, or that's a totally different?
No, it's well, to begin with, the pickup window, I believe, and I'm not 100% sure that it is on the 6,700 foot. It's a really large deal, and generally is located inside a shopping center. But in sharing formats and pro formas and said, here's kind of where our threshold is and here's why we need it. And I think it was interesting, and I'll give you a little bit of relevance in the difference between projects. We are involved in currently in entitling a McDonald's with a drive-through between Goleta and Santa Barbara, that Nolita area they call out there, and it's an area where you can legally can do drive-throughs if you can get them entitled. The impact to McDonald's, or the percentage of dollars that go through a drive-through at, in a McDonald's, it's between 10% and 15%. So it's a very big difference. It's kind of Panera has a little different feel. You want to go in and sit down and relax. It's a different environment. It does get used. It is a drive-through. I mean, it has those, but I think it's very different. It isn't, to clarify, though, because when they gave me that number, I was really surprised by how big a percentage that is. It doesn't mean that if you take away the drive-through, 60 to 70% of the business goes away. It means more people walk in.
Right.
But they do take a hit to their business. So, but it's interesting how many go through there and how small, comparatively, that the Panera is.
Thank you. I do have a question of staff. If Panera decides to leave and a different restaurant wants to come into this spot, who has any say over what restaurant that is?
As I had mentioned previously, the entitlement of the drive-through restaurant with the conditional use permit, if another drive-through business would like to go in and they are not changing anything on the exterior, they're a way for us to deny a separate one coming in.
Okay, Jason? Just following up, if there's no change of use and there's no review involved, so if it's a drive-through restaurant going to a change of tenant, there's no discretionary approvals required. If there's some, again, modifications to the new restaurant that may trigger some substantial conformance findings, we'd have to take a look at it to see if it's in substantial conformance to what was approved for the...
The size of the In-N-Out burger. I'm just trying to get an idea of relative size between Panera and like McDonald's, Wendy's, In-N-Out.
I know in doing the review for the project, I did come across it. I don't remember what it was exactly, and I know I do not have it in any of my notes tonight.
Remember, bigger or smaller?
It was roughly the same, maybe slightly bigger, but roughly the same.
So this spot would be suitable for that kind of restaurant. I mean, it's foreseeable that, or not foreseeable, but it's possible that.
History of knowing their traffic counts through their drive-throughs. In fact, I came across their engineering report studying their traffic earlier today. I doubt that they would, considering at first glance you wonder why would you put a drive-through on that site to begin with, given the tight turning radius and all of that sort of thing. A restaurant like In-N-Out, where a large portion of their business is done through the drive-thru, I do not believe that they would actually even consider going into that space.
Okay, thank you.
The lights, when they were going to go off. I mean, do we do just business hours? I know we keep having this discussion.
It's typically business hours or 10 p.m., whichever is later. So in this case, it would be 10 p.m.
We can change that.
That's actually part of the municipal code. That's actually a
10 p.m.
Correct.
But if they're not open past 9, did we talk about this?
It's business hours or 10 o'clock, whichever's earlier.
Whichever's earlier or whichever's later?
Whichever's later, okay.
Correct.
Whichever's later then.
And in fact, if I may. And it was actually talked about at great length, and
yeah,
it was determined that, yeah, correct, 10 o'clock or end of business hour, whichever is later. And in that case, it's 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Any more questions of anyone?
No. Oh, and then is there anyone from the public that would like to speak? All right. Not seeing anyone, and I will bring it back to us for comments. John?
Precedent with the other drive-thrus in that area where they were restricted, and it would be impossible for me to deny a drive-thru here after the In-N-Out and the Carl Jr. and the bank and everything else that we've done. So I don't have a problem with the drive-thru. One of the things that came up in the ARC meeting was the building lighting. And you mentioned that you were going to bring that there's lighting on the plans of, outdoor little lights over the awnings and around the building. And then it shows a detail to go to page 8J, and there is no page 8 in my drawings. So I have no idea what the lights are going to look like. And it goes right back to the amount of there were quite a few of them, and having them on late, and I because there's always people still in there, there's employees to leave and all that, but they do not need to stay on all night. And the same way with the signs. That was the people across the freeway. These signs that we're putting on these buildings shine right into their houses. And it looks like a long way away, but it's just a big glow. So I know the signage is going to come up later. One of the things that concerns me about the signage and the outdoor lighting. Because corporate says they have to be some neon around the top of the building or something that that is an architectural enhancement or something, and they're calling it part of the signing. And that's why I hesitate waiting to do signs, especially when they can really make a project go or not go with me. Not that I would deny the project for it, but I it shows a pretty good sized sign on the west side of the building, which is actually blocked by the motel. You know, it just would be useless to have it there. So, I hesitate to say that that would be a appropriate place for a sign, especially if it would light part of the rooms if there's windows on that side of the building. The only of the property, and I'm not sure if that's an existing one or a new one. It just says, the note just says to match the existing parking lot. If that's, and I missed whether it was already there or not. Can't think if there's anything else or not. I mentioned the tree thing.
I am really excited that there's something that's going to go on that site, and I think Panera Bread is a good fit. Not a huge fan of drive-throughs, and even more so when it's next to a nice hotel. I think it's sort of, I pictured a nicer sit-down restaurant. You know, in this economy, we might not be able to get that, so I understand that. But I just feel like the drive-through sort of cheapens the corner. Hampton Inn's done a nice job. They think that I'm just reluctant on the drive-through for that location, but I do appreciate the fact that you did talk to Hampton Inn, and they have another Hampton Inn that has a Panera and has a drive-through.
Would you like Nick to come back up?
Yeah,
Nick, could you come back up? Let's see, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not positive it has a drive-thru.
It was a Panera Bread.
It was a Panera Bread, but I'm not positive it has a drive-thru. It was.
Okay.
But it was Panera Bread.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
So I'm not sure, because you talked about the different business models they have for their types of restaurants and the square footage and the demographics. I'm not sure we could hold their feet to the fire and get a Panera Bread without the drive-thru. So I'm willing to go along with the majority of the commission, and I'm also a little bit reluctant to approve a drive-thru that we maybe can't ever get rid of if someone, McDonald's, wants to come in there. And I hope I'm thinking they probably would try to do that. So I'm excited about the restaurant. I've eaten at them before. My girls are excited. I think that the drive-through isn't the best. It's not the best place for a drive-through, but I think it will get used. The 10-15%, boy, those numbers are sure different than the McDonald's drive-through revenue. It's interesting, the business. So anyway, those are my thoughts for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Jennifer?
Yeah, thanks, Liz. And I just noticed, too, just maybe this helped out on West Branch. Okay. Maybe I'm the only one who didn't catch that. I'm excited about the project. I'm looking forward to just cleaning up what's out there. I don't have any issues with the architecture of the building. I think it looks great. I like that you're trying to tie it into some of the colors of the Hampton Inn. My probably biggest concern is just that corner. When you're getting off the freeway, it's the last exit, I think, for Rio Grande. There's so much stuff going on out there. So I know this is a recommendation to council, but it would be nice to maybe see a little more delineation in that landscape plan. In the corner, maybe there's something that could help. It's you get off the freeway, you're sort of sitting there, and I think the building's going to look great. The staggered walls are going to help. I'm glad there's nothing else on top. I misunderstood that there was something else on top of that wall. So I'm happy that there's just, you know, not another element going on. So I think the only thing maybe we can do out there is landscape. Could look really good. So that's my concern. I don't have big concern with the drive-through. And that's it. I'll leave it at that. Thanks.
Jennifer.
Lisa.
I too am excited about this project. I think it's a great venue for that location, and I think that if we are going to have a drive-through, it definitely is a part of the town where we already have a lot of drive-throughs, and it seems like this is one that hopefully will have a lower impact than some.
Popular restaurant. I think it's going to be well used. I think you're going to have high school kids lined up in that drive-through every lunchtime. I can see people stopping by there for breakfast on their way places. I think it's going to be good for the hotel. And it's going to be very popular. And as Kristen said, sit-down restaurants just aren't making it. So I think this is a good business for that spot. It's also very nice looking. Thank you, Mike, you know, for all the work you've done. You know, all the architecture looks great. And thank you, ARC, for all the recommendations you made, because I think that helped. Fine. When people are using the restaurant is when they're not really going to be at the hotel, probably. I just don't think the parking is going to be a problem, so I'm fine with that. Also, I like the parking lot landscaping that's there right now. I think it's nice. That nice big oak tree is pleasant, and so when I was up there, I thought they had done a nice job with that. I'm not crazy about a drive-thru in that location. Not necessarily for Panera, but for something else that might happen. And like Kristen, I think it cheapens the corner. You made me feel better by saying you've talked to Hampton, and they seem to be because of all those factors and the fact that the landscaping and architecture is going to make it look as pleasant as possible. So all of those things said, I am ready to recommend this to the City Council. I know there are a few things that whoever makes a motion might want to consider based on comments about the wall, the drains, perhaps access from the upper parking lot, lighting. Said, I will entertain a motion, and John will first speak.
Will the signed application come back to us, or is that just ARC and you?
Depending on the overall square footage of the signs that are proposed, it might trigger a plan sign program, which would require approval by the Planning Commission. If it falls under the administrative sign permit, which is up to 100 square feet total, It would just be approved at by the community development director. And but the threshold for going to a plan sign program is 150 square.
With the building lighting description and some direction of how it's going to be.
You might want to add a condition if you'd like to see those two things come back to Planning Commission.
Well, I definitely want to see the lighting, but if nobody wants to see the sign, it's okay.
Did we look at in and out? Did we look at in and out because it was over 150 square feet, the signage?
Yes, I believe so. As well as at the time, it included the building neon, which was.
The signage.
I would guess so.
It seems like it would.
There's some big signs.
Yeah.
All right. Is anyone prepared to make a motion?
I will.
Okay.
I move approval of, let's see where we are. Resolution of the Planning Commission from the City of Arroyo Grande recommending the City Council approve conditional use permit 13-001 with the location being 1400. That the signage and lighting come back to the Planning Commission for approval. That extra landscaping be done to help address the issue of the, are they drop inlets, drains, Jennifer?
I don't know what they are, storm drains. Mess, corner, that whole corner really, yeah, okay.
And that the retaining wall drop-off be looked into by engineering, is that right, Jennifer? Retaining wall drop-off, is that a good explanation of?
Add the existing.
Okay, that sounds good. And I think that is it, unless there was anything else that anyone had.
I would like to add, I guess I can say, or suggest that, and I'm okay with that stuff, is that they look at trying to access from that second tier, and I would be okay with losing a parking space. Look at it, discuss okay. Some kind of access from above down just to help that pedestrian flow.
Okay, that sounds good. We can add that. It's okay.
Second for a second?
I'll second.
All right, so the motion is that we approve the resolution as presented. And also add that the signage and lighting plan come back through the Planning Commission, that we have extra landscaping to screen the storm drains. Is that right? That the existing retaining wall be inspected by the engineer for safety.
Mm-hmm.
And that, give me the wording of the...
That eliminating one parking space to look in, I mean... investigate that possibility.
What, did I already second?
Okay, just checking. I'm just trying to clarify that one so that we know exactly what we're voting
okay.
on.
Have Jennifer, because she has it in her mind, and you can just add to my motion.
The
just,
last one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just
Liz. I think she said it, yeah. Just
so that is there a way to say this in a meaningful way?
If I may, the way I would word it is investigate the removal of one parking space to add the pedestrian connection from the second tier parking area.
Sounds lovely.
That's great.
I mean, is that what we're wanting to do, or are we
saying
that's
the word I was looking for? I mean, I think it's not crucial, but I think if it's if it works and it makes sense, then it's worth looking at.
Okay. And if I might add a clarifying question, is the one parking space loss the limit that would like to be set by the Planning Commission? Or if it can be done with the loss of two parking spaces, would that be acceptable?
Up to two.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
So that fine with the second?
That's that's fine.
What I was indicating would probably be required. One from one side and one from the other.
Some more delineation in the landscape plan on that whole corner. So it, I don't know what that looks like, but I think we can use some other landscaping beside to help that corner. So not specifically just talking about the storm drains, but kind of that whole corner. But that's a big, I think, a big eyesore. I mean, right now it looks it's bad. So
more details.
More detail on that corner.
Plan and added landscaping.
Yeah, but I think we're limited there. So just right now it just says ground cover, but I think we can, I think the landscaper is fully capable of making that look nice.
To landscape before it goes to City Council, or who would approve the extra landscaping?
Due to the time frame, this item, if it proceeds forward as it appears that it will be going to the City Council next Tuesday in 1 week. I doubt that there is enough time between now and then to have this landscape redone, the landscape plan redone. However, there are multiple items returning to Planning Commission already. If that was is something that you would like to add in, just as satisfy the commission, that would
I think it at least brings something to the I think it needs to be part of the project. I don't know how the timing works out next Tuesday.
I think what he's saying is there's not enough time to give to City Council, but if we add the condition that you know, we would like additional landscaping there and it's to come back through us for final approval, I think that's what Matt is suggesting.
Correct. Huh? That would be my suggestion.
Would you accept having the ARC approve that landscaping since they have
And I think my intent was that the City Council would have those concerns too. So I'm fine where it needs to go back.
I guess my problem with that is I'm not sure the ARC will know what we meant.
I'm not sure that I know what we mean.
I'm looking at this picture,
well,
so this
it doesn't
is what
look
you're
like.
Talking. Yeah, but it doesn't. You know, there's all these. There's all this stuff out there, and just
the storm drains are not shown there.
It's a storm drain. You get off the freeway and like, you know, maybe there's some smaller rocks. I don't know. The landscape can something. If that's, you know, if it's going to look like that, then.
So when you get off the freeway, you're not going to be looking down here because of the way the project is. You're going to be looking up above, but I don't know. That's why I don't know how much we want to put down here.
Well, and I don't know what it is. I just go stand on it. It's a really important corner. I think it's important. So
I guess I'm always coming the other way.
Yeah.
I never come off I'm that off way. Over. I'm always going.
Yeah.
Going the other
my
way.
Question, are there storm drains that would be visible that are not shown on that depiction?
If you look on C1,
mm-hmm.
you can look see at the drawings, you can see them, and they're up higher than, mm-hmm. than the sidewall. Yeah. I mean,
why can't we just see the landscape? I don't think it's going to hold anybody up because we have to see that anyway. And now all of that we approved, does that have to go back to City Council or can we just approve that? I just don't want to hold everything up on the account of those items.
I would simply word the condition as you did for the lighting issue and the signage issue that corner treatment come back to you for review. Typically, I would just pass it through by ARC, but again, these other things are coming to you, so I don't think. City with that freeway off ramp there.
This can go to City Council without the signage and the lighting, though, can it? I mean, that's not going to keep it from going to the City Council.
No, it can, unless the council decides they want to see that later, which they may, but you can word it that it's your purview and then see what they say when it gets to them.
The City Council could always say our conditions of approval are that it comes back to us if they so right. chose. Sure. So,
We'll go with it coming back to us for
So just add, Debbie, the landscape plan or the landscape enhancements to
approve that with a second.
All right. Any more discussion on the motion? All right. Debbie, can we have a roll call vote, please?
Yes.
Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Keene?
Yes.
Commissioner Spiro?
Yes.
And Chair Ruth?
Yes. All right. Congratulations. Thank you. All right. We're on to item 9A, Certificate of Compliance 13-001, location 926 Magnolia Drive.
The certificate of compliance is for two single-family residential lots located at 926 Magnolia Drive. So Magnolia Drive is located near the intersection of South Halcyon and the Pike. The original Oceano Beckett's Edition graphic arranged the development in that area as in a grid pattern. The adjacent tract 23, and that was recently recorded, well, fairly recently in 1985, completed the cul-de-sac for Magnolia Drive, but that did, but it, the, what was I saying, the property at 926 was not included within the tract. It was not a part of it. So the project area is located at on Magnolia Drive within the single family zone, which requires 7,200 square foot lots, typically the property by subdivision map, which today is not recognized by law to be legal. Each of these lots were depicted as 25 feet wide, which are non-conforming dimensions to current zoning standards. The applicant has provided legal documents to staff which show conveyance of the proposed lot configurations. The proposed lot configurations are such that they are in conformance or with the assessor's parcel numbers as depicted. Instead of the original Oceano established that there's two legal lots on this property that correspond to the assessor's parcels numbers. This action will allow development to occur or redevelopment to occur, but no further subdivision. So the certified lots will create one 50-foot wide non-conforming lot and one 100-foot wide conforming lot. Special conditions on this approval include showing that the public street within the property lines is dedicated to the city and that the abandonment of the county's department, public health department standards. So staff recommends that the Planning Commission adopt a resolution for approval.
Thank you. Questions for staff? Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
Jennifer?
So, let's see. I'm just trying to make sure I understand what's going on. There's nothing. Is there anything on that? Let's see. I'm trying to.
Right. So the application provided an exhibit for each of the lots. So one describes the boundaries for 09 and one describes boundaries for 10.
Okay.
They both say Exhibit A and B on them. There is an existing single-family residence on parcel 10.
But not on 9?
Not on 9. The structure you see in the picture there was one of the outbuildings for the original residence.
Okay. Thank you. I'm good. Thanks.
No questions.
And there's a fence built. So that lot will be 50 feet wide, which means that the house that could be built there would be 35 feet wide, the maximum, because there's a 10-foot setback on one side, 5 feet on the other. Do we have a lot of houses that are 35 feet wide? I mean, is that a reasonable width for a house, including a garage?
There are other examples of 50-foot wide homes.
Yeah, I looked up online just to see different plans, you know, could end up being a two-story or whatever. But they would have to conform on that lot to the huge, and then 5 feet on one side and 10 feet on the other.
I believe we may be able to do 5 feet on both sides.
Oh, really? Was it? Okay, I thought I had read that, but then there's no more than or no less than 10 feet between buildings, right?
That's correct.
So, all right, so I was just trying to see if you could build a reasonable house there, and it seems like you can. I think it will be slightly smaller than some of the rest in the neighborhood, but it's still very doable.
Correct, yeah, it is slightly smaller than the others.
Okay. I think... Want to come and speak?
Excuse me. My name is Leonard Langer. I'm a surveyor, and I only came just to answer questions if there were any.
All right. Any questions?
No.
No? Okay. Thank you very much. And I would open it up to public comment, but you are the public, and you've already commented, so I will now close that and bring it back to us for comments. Lisa?
I think it looks like it makes sense, and I'm ready to move forward.
Jennifer?
Yeah, I don't have any issues with it. Thank you.
Kristen?
Ditto.
No issues.
Yeah, it looks like a cleanup thing that will just make everything nice and legal and
I move approval of a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Arroyo Grande approving Certificate of Compliance 13-001 with the location being 926 Magnolia Drive, the applicant being William Melton and Brody Lasord.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? May we have a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Barnage?
Yes.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Yes.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
All right. Item 9B, election of officers. We need to elect a new chair and vice chair effective the next the first meeting in April for a year. Procedures that we're planning to use. I will call for nominations for chair. Anyone can nominate either themselves or someone else. No second is needed. And then I will entertain a motion to close the nominations once we've heard from anyone who wants to be heard from. And then we will vote for each. And then we'll do the same procedure for the vice chair.
Any concerns with that procedure? Any comments? Okay. All right. So I will open it up. I will take nominations for chair.
I nominate Liz Ruth.
All right. Any more nominations? Okay. I will entertain a motion to close nominations for chair.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All in favor of closing nominations?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. So let's have a roll call vote, please.
Yes. I'm chair.
Yes, and I will be honored to be your chair for the next year. I appreciate it. All right. Now I will open nominations for vice chair. I would like to nominate Kristen Barnage. Any more nominations? Okay, well, we'll entertain a motion to close nominations for vice chair.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor of closing nominations?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner King?
Yes.
Commissioner Sparrow?
Yes.
All right. Item 10, Notice of Administrative Decisions, and we have four items. Anything that anyone wants to pull for further consideration?
I just wanted to talk quickly about the Cherry Creek houses that are out there, that they're approved by the ARC. I don't have a problem with those. They're single family. My concern was the email that I received back to when did we approve that house, the two-story one, and then I found out from staff that it was maybe on the consent agenda, that we didn't actually look at it, ARC did. And to be honest, I hadn't driven out there in a while, so I drove out there and I just wanted to make sure everyone received the same email because it's nice what they've done with some of those houses. The single families look really nice. They fit with the character, the scale. But the two-story does really, to me, really jumps out at me. So that's all. And that
it would have come through as an administrative item, right, just like the ones on the agenda tonight. So these are the process, again, it's approved tract with approved set of guidelines specific to that tract. And as the homes get built out, either by the developer or once sold to, you know, another party, they come in with house plan. Staff make sure it's in substantial conformance with the design guidelines that were approved for the track and take that to architectural review for the recommendation. A blurb just about this big. You can always certainly call one up for review for the next meeting. You can also, if you see one on here, as any manner person in the public can request to see the elevations or the information on that project. So that's why you probably didn't remember it. It was probably in a form of a few sentences. It's really the bulk of that review purview lies with the ARC because those design guidelines had been previously approved by UN Council in this case.
So the only deviation on that two
But that's not a three. Is that? I don't think any of the setbacks anywhere in new construction are 3 feet or less. It should be a minimum of 5. Is that correct? Is that what it says? There's only about a 3 feet in the backyard. Is it a 3 foot backyard?
So we got a copy of an email from someone who was concerned about what they said was a 3 foot setback, and we're just trying to verify if it is indeed 3 feet. I believe I was at the ARC meeting when they approved this one.
Well, if the minimum is 5,
right,
then, and if I know that there was a deviation, I know there was a exception.
But it wouldn't have gone from 5 to 3.
I honestly can't tell what that 3 is now.
Yeah.
But it would not have, especially in the deviation in the rear yard, when I think was a 1 foot deviation from a 20 foot rear yard setback. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Just clarify.
All right. But no one has any concerns about what's on the current consent agenda.
I attended the ARC meeting when these projects, or these three houses at Cherry Creek, were approved. Were pretty impressive. The one took a second shot, and I think that was the one on Stillwell, and the one that they had to come back. They were turned down by the ARC, and then came back with a project. At the meeting that I attended, and it was really a nice-looking building. I didn't see the first one, but the one I saw was very nice. Then the only other one was that was a little unusual. On the largest lot out there, there's a it would actually fit real well, but it would look like a real nice project. Thank you.
Thank you, John. All right, we'll move on to item 11, commission communications. Does anyone for the Planning Commission have anything they need to communicate?
Well, no, I just had a question, actually, on the ARC minutes that we received for the Panera Bread on the backside, the ones that are crossed out. I saw that the discussion item, the final landscape plan for McDonald's was reviewed as required by ARC, 8 palm trees. So I thought that when we last looked at the project, they were not removing any trees. And so I looked at these, I mean, these. This is from February 25th, so it's a pretty recent meeting. So now I'm sort of confused. I mean, do you remember that from McDonald's, that they weren't
removing some trees?
Oh, they were?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I remember Ryan was in Hawaii, and he was trying to get a hold of Teresa, and he was saying, he sent me a message and said, the trees are all staying, the trees are all staying. But, I mean, if that wasn't part of the record, I understand that. But I do.
They could to save as many. That's just my recollection. But I think that there was the understanding that we were probably going to lose some.
Okay. I just want to make sure that they're not the two big palm trees.
Right. And that I'm sure of, that they're not the two big ones. I will go back and double check those minutes to recall which was which. I think they weren't planning on removing any, and including the large ones that were under discussion, but that some may have to be moved to fit the driveways and so forth.
I hate to be paranoid, but this has happened before in our ones that are removed, that are called out to be removed, Teresa. If they're close to those trees, I just want the owner to, or the developer, to really talk to the landscaper that's removing them so that they don't make a mistake, because it's just, I mean, I think those trees are pretty cool. I'd hate to have them go away. So. And on the plan, sometimes there's a lot of palm trees, so maybe on the plan, a landscaper would go out there and just look at the plan and not know exactly. So thank you, Teresa.
That's it. Staff communications? Anything for us, Teresa?
None this evening.
All right.
Good night. Thank you.